Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We've got Joe Coy in. We get into that beautiful night at the Forum where he sold it out and I opened for him. We talk about that for the first time. First, let me tell you about DC Universe. DC Universe, here to save the day, everyone. Watch DC series and movies, read over 22,000 digital comics, and connect with other fans like yourself. Engage in that community, that forum. Amazing lineup of hit original series, classic series and movies, adult animated series as well. Doom Patrol, Titans, Swamp Thing, and more. Harley Quinn, season 2, premieres April 3rd. And that's coming up in a couple days, so don't miss that. My son is all over this. He's a huge fan. Get the latest news with special guests, and you can watch DC Daily and tune into other podcasts. Tune into their podcasts, not other ones, as well. Available on Xbox, Roku, Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, Apple stores, and more. You can enjoy DC content anytime, anywhere. Right, Dawson?
Get a free 7-day trial plus 15% off your first 3 months with promo code Adam at checkout. Go to DCUniverse.com/join and use promo code Adam at, checkout. Again, that's DCUniverse.com/join. Use promo code Adam at checkout. Valid for monthly subscription only. Expires 5/31/20. From Adam's house and Brian's house and Gina's house, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Joe Coy, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll talk to Michael in Sweden for a social distance update. And now, Wet Market. Good name for G's V. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on the... Joyce, for the get on mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing during these trying times. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
YOLO, man.
Well, now more than ever, YOLO.
Oh, you got a very Blair Witch thing going on, man. This is great.
I know. I don't know what to do with it. I put some tape over the light above me. And now I realize there's a, it's kind of, it's interesting. I was going to hang something behind me and my plans were thwarted, but I'll work it out. I'll fix my look up. Joe Coy is going to be on the show, which is always goddamn awesome. And I'm looking forward to that. Also,
you haven't seen Joe since you walked out on him after opening for him.
That's right. Dropped the mic and left.
We're having Michael from Sweden calling in. The reason we're having Michael from Sweden calling in is yesterday we spoke to a fan that was in Italy where they're on full lockdown and Sweden is full free range.
Right.
And now we're going to have to figure out, I think Sweden is, and maybe either Hong Kong is or Taiwan. I can't remember. One of those places is free range and the other is not. And so we're going to have to study those free range cultures and see what happens, how this thing is faring, what's going on.
Control groups, we'll find out, because they're not isolated, but they can control their own thing and their own people and whatever. So we'll see.
They're the canary in the coal mine. They're saying no one's quarantined, no one's locked up at home. Go out and be responsible, and we'll see if that works. Now, of course, those rules don't apply to us,
and it certainly doesn't apply to South Africa. I have that in the news too, because Matt Von Leer sent it to me. Oh, everything's locked down. And I'll tell you the kind of things you cannot get a hold of anymore.
You know, it's so funny. I saw the whitest version of ignoring social distancing and the blackest version of ignoring social distancing, both on the internet. So all the white people were all up in arms because at like the Palisades Farmers Market or something, they were walking Brentwood Farmers Market. Like, is there anything whiter than Brentwood's Farmers Market?
No, that's it. That's the peak. That's the snowy peak of the mountain.
Right. And I think it was Maria Kennedy's or Maria Schwarzenegger's or whatever. Yeah, her daughter was not happy about people being in such proximity to one another. So that seemed to make the rounds. I guess it made the rounds. You heard about it, Brian.
I was trending on Twitter yesterday.
And I know, Gina, you probably heard of it as well. But anyway, I remember
I saw the tweet.
I saw it was trending. But I also saw a tweet of the middle of Oakland, and there's an entire black neighborhood in a circle around an intersection while one guy just did donuts in the middle of the intersection. Everyone was cheering and laughing and whatever. And that did not make the rounds. And this, or at least somebody tweeted it to me, but I didn't see it on TMZ, and I didn't see it making the rounds like the other one. Although the car made the rounds, the car almost killed 12 people going in a circle in the middle of the thing. But I thought, and we'll look at it. It'll be worth investigating. I haven't totally looked into it, but my never ending quest of, when Whitey gets out of hand, we go, hey, man, you can't go to the farmer's market and whatever. The black man is doing donuts in the intersection of Oakland. And we, by the way, as the white man, at our most racist, goes, what are we going to do with those people?
Fine.
But the people at the farmer's market should know better.
That is pretty racist.
It's the most racist. That's what we did with this Superdome in New Orleans. Like, those people are in there. They're raping each other on the 50-yard line. There's murder everywhere. We need to – why isn't somebody doing something about that? And it's like, well, there wasn't rape everywhere, and there wasn't murder everywhere. That was us being super racist, thinking what would happen if you took a whole bunch of poor black people and you put them in one place.
They can't be left alone to their own devices.
Right. We've announced that we're like zookeepers now. Like, we need to, you put the lions in with the giraffes. What are you, crazy? Like, it's on you. Yeah. The New Orleans Superdome, there was like four deaths. Two of them were natural causes. One of them was like an OD, and one of them, the person like killed themselves. Like, there was no murder. Right. There was no rape. There wasn't all the things that were in the news. That's Whitey's freaked out version
imagination
of what's going on. Very, very tell sad, him. But on us. Yeah. Mm. Max Batta, do you have that was a tweet, I think, of the fella just doing the donuts? All right. So it's pretty crowded out there in Oakland. And lots
like
of people gathered around, and somebody's just doing hot donuts in the middle of an intersection, and people are standing in between the car when it does donuts around you, laughing. But I heard way more about the Brentwood Farmers Market than I did about this, which is us being sort of racist. All right. On a happy note, we will talk to Michael. Michael's on from Sweden.
Yeah, you want to put him through?
Yeah, put him through. I want to know how it's going over there, what the rules are. Michael from Sweden.
Ace man, Gina Bald, get it on.
Hey. Wow, look at you. You look like Klondike.
Beard checks out.
Yeah, the beard checks out. No, in the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
In when the Rudolph.
He won and
Cornelius.
Yukon Cornelius. You have the exact same beard. It's the
Is
same
that the
texture.
Yeti?
No.
No, he's a man.
You will be flattered when you see Yukon Cornelius.
He's a red-haired, red-bearded version of you. He's the greatest prospector in the North. You should be flattered.
Yes, and remember.
I am very flattered.
He's a bumble, and bumbles bounce.
Bumbles bounce.
So, we're looking at him.
Oh, all right.
You should be flattered.
Wildling from Game of Thrones.
Right.
So, Michael, what are you doing in Sweden, and then tell us all about it?
Yeah, so I've been doing most of my higher education here. Did my master's in Sweden, and then my PhD in Copenhagen. Finished that last summer, and now I'm starting up a professorship in the fall here in Lund.
And what is the population? I told Max Batta to do a little homework here of Sweden, but you may know as well.
It's about 9.5 million, and it's approximately the same size as California. But, you know, California has, 34 million people or something like that.
Right. But it's interesting that L.A. County has about 10 million people. So I guess L.A. County has about the same overall population as Sweden. But you're saying Sweden's the size of California. So now we get that. Brian, finger?
I have a dumb question that I should know, but how much of Sweden is uninhabitable because of weather or terrain, or is any of it uninhabitable?
It's a really good question, because Stockholm is less than halfway, like, to the south. And then once you go north of Stockholm, I mean, the three largest cities are Stockholm, Gothenburg, and then Malmo, where I am in the south. Once you go past Stockholm, it starts getting more and more sparse. And that's where you get into the kind of reindeers and the northern lights. But that's a huge chunk of the country. So a lot of it is uninhabitable.
And where do you come from in the United States?
New Orleans. So maybe not the place to be at the moment.
Not right now.
Right. So the city you live in, what would you equate that to here in the United States? If you said, well, it's kind of like San Diego or Chicago or New York or whatever.
That's a really good question.
Pick somewhere cold.
Yeah. that threw a wrench in my plans. I would originally say something like somewhere in the Carolinas, like maybe, I don't know, Greensboro or something, because we're about 45 minutes away from Copenhagen, which is a, you know, capital city. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of, the Swedes will get angry at me for saying this, but they call it Greater Copenhagen Area. So it's mm-hmm. it's sort of like a brother or sister city. So maybe let's go with Kansas City.
I like it.
There you go, Gina.
I'll take it and I relate.
Well, I've been there, so I can picture it in my mind's eye. So, but let's talk about like Copenhagen. So right now, what are the rules, if any, for you fellas?
So, well, in Copenhagen, which is in Denmark, about 45 minutes away, they're on pretty much lockdown until I think April 13th. They're in lockdown. I don't know what the penalties are if you leave or something like that, but take a train ride away, although you can't right now because the border's closed, about 45 minutes, there's really not many like laws enacted. I think gatherings under 50 people are sort of, called off. But in general, it's a pretty laissez-faire way to deal with the coronavirus.
Are they saying you're sort of on your own recognizance, like you need to be responsible, don't do silly shit? Or are they just saying, go about your way? Because I think Chris was reading me a declaration from whoever's in charge. Oh, glass of wine. Nice. Whoever's in charge saying, hey, man, you got to be an adult. But other than that, like meaning like that thing you give to your when you give your kid a cell phone, you go use it responsibly and I'll pay for it. Start looking up internet porn and I'm going to fucking pull the plug. So be an adult about it. And you may have this privilege. Is that in essence what they're saying?
It is. And there's a lot of different kind of angles to go with that. But yeah, the prime minister last week, he said, we need to be adults and act like adults. And that means not panicking. That means not putting ourselves in, large groups, because we know that's the issue. So that's kind of the approach is that, and the reason that works, I think, so there's been a lot of criticism just the past couple of days. I'm sure, Gina, you've seen it in the news where people are saying this is irresponsible. But at the same time, you have to take into account like the cultural specifics of Sweden, where there's a very, very high trust in government and also a very high trust in other people. So 60% of Swedes for like decades now have always answered, most people can be trusted, I agree. Where in the US, it's only about 35%. And that number has dropped since the 1970s.
Yeah. Well, if we're all Swedish, we'd change our mind a little bit. Let's face it. There's the Armenian factor. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Those people can't be trusted. Sorry, Gina. Go ahead.
No. What you had to say was much more important.
Absolutely.
I just had a question. We've talked about this a little bit, and I frankly don't know if it's true. So maybe you can shed some light on. Also in Sweden, people don't seem to overuse antibiotics and really pound the drugs, and hospitals aren't these overly sanitized places from what I understand. And do you think this all kind of plays into the mentality of this?
Yeah, they're completely averse to taking a pill if they have the slightest headache. They'll stay home most of the time, and they can because there's a general sort of social welfare net here. But it also relates to that trust in government or trust in the state, because you know that you have the flexibility to stay home if you need to. So on top of that, you can't even buy something like Tylenol cold and sinus right. extra strength. Mm-hmm. So there's like right. an institutional part that limits it. But then there's also the individuals who, even if they were presented with it, they wouldn't because mm-hmm. they think, yeah, a little bit like the Purell thing, right? Like,
so what,
yeah, what good is it to take an Aleve every day?
You're not weakening yourself. Yes. So what's it like out on the streets then on any given day? Let's just say you were completely unaware of this coronavirus. Would you see a difference when you left your apartment?
Yes. Maybe by like, I would say 50% in terms of people on the streets. Like I took the train today and I was on a car with four people, which is pretty unusual for the morning because again, people are staying in if they can and they can work from home. Mm-hmm. If you go to the grocery store, you're not going to see a big difference. I think right when things were kind of panicky in Denmark, it was a little bit of taking the toilet paper off the shelves, but it stocked. And for the most part, you won't see that many people on the street, but at the same time, I was out playing some pinball at a kind of a local pool hall recently. And yeah, people were there throwing darts, playing pool, not packed, but also, yeah, just not in large groups, but also not curtailing their life, you know?
And how's it, have you heard about any numbers? Is it working, this experiment, or not working?
I haven't tracked the cases day by day. I think we're something at like 3,000 now, but what's kind of interesting to keep in mind is that while this virus was really spreading in other parts of the world, not many people come to Sweden in the winter, right? Like December, January. And like Brian said, it's very sparsely populated. So the cases we do have are concentrated around cities. But from what I kind of know anecdotally, just from talking to people, is they think it came from people who are on ski holidays in Italy around the Alps that then came back to Sweden and may have transferred it.
Can I ask this? I'm wondering, and maybe you have an idea on this, Michael, maybe you don't. I don't know a lot about Sweden, but for the little I know, like how much of this do you think is this being Sweden's unique take on the whole thing, being that Sweden is kind of inaccessible? I mean, it's hard to get to if you're not let in the country, you know what I'm saying? Like how much of it is they're not, compacted like a state or like one of the other European nations?
Yeah, they're outside of continental Europe, which I think is a big thing. But there's a couple other parts that are quite interesting. And one is, as far as I know, the government doesn't really have the power to instate one of these lockdowns. And part of that relates to the fact that unlike other European countries, Sweden hasn't been in war for 200 years or so. So there's a lot, if you look at the countries that are going into lockdown, Germany, Italy, France, these are countries that have recent historical experiences of war. Sweden always been neutral, in recent times, and also is not in NATO. So it doesn't work to do this type of war rhetoric, like, instating the Defense Production Act. Like we don't have that precedent and we don't have those, as a result, we don't have those legislations in place to impose that lockdown.
I wonder how this is going to affect the EU, because first you had Brexit, then you had this, and the first thing everyone does in the European Union is close their borders. The first thing that everyone does is lock off, circle the wagons and close their borders. You just wonder if this is going to impact the EU. I know we don't have answers, but you're a smart guy.
Oh, I study European politics. So this is right up my alley.
Oh, good. So
ask
your
professor what he thinks.
Yeah.
And so actually, it'll be interesting to see what happens in terms of how it impacts the EU, but we've got to remember that healthcare is something that nation states have fought. So the EU is a supranational institution, whereas the healthcare systems have been vigorously protected by nation states. And that limits the amount of integration that the European Union is designed for. So if anything, there might be more consensus towards a harmonized healthcare policy from the public, but probably not from the governments. So we'll see how it plays out, but that's a very interesting question.
Everything has sort of ramifications, and this is definitely going to be one that has it on a micro and macro level, because, everyone is going to get used to ordering Grubhub for 3 months, mm-hmm. and then we're probably just going to continue ordering Grubhub. And
so much for the victory gardens you talked about.
Yeah, I know. I'm now starting the loser compost pile. That'll be That'll be all the shit my kids don't eat from Grubhub, and I'll just throw it out in the compost pile. But yeah, so the micro stuff will be Grubhub at home, and the macro stuff will be the EU and how that carries on. Hey, Michael, I want to give you a plug. And so, and sort of encapsulate, although it sounds like I'm wrapping up, I'm not. You do a podcast called The Social Media and Politics, and it's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. Oh, you were inspired to start one because of me. Well, thank you.
That's right. The pirate ship.
Very much. And what is going on in the social media and politics department? I do feel like people are, if you talk to a guy like Dr. Drew, he'll go, God, I hope this is an opportunity for us just to get past all our shit and start realizing we're all Americans and that we need to focus on, you know, what got us here in the first place is something. And I go, I'm with you in spirit, but it all turns to shit even immediately. And this epidemic has not slowed us down. But for you, what do you think, studying the subject of politics and social media, where do you think this is heading? And might it get to some saturation point where it kind of goes away or lessens?
Well, it's a great question. I don't have all the answers. Obviously, we're working on it. But I do want to add to your list of theories that exist that it's not as quite as solidified as Purell. But you've been talking a lot recently about media sensationalism. And there's a whole strand of research on that called mediatization, looking at basically charting that content over time and showing how it has become more sensational, more focused on local crime, for example, because that sells. So I just wanted to put that out there that there is work on that, and it's definitely acknowledged. In terms of social media and politics, there's so much we don't know. And part of the reason is that we don't really get rich data from these platforms themselves. So especially after the Cambridge Analytica scandal and the Russian disinformation, Facebook basically shut off its stream to researchers, and the data we got before wasn't very good anyways. It was like public Facebook comments. Mm-hmm. And so the person who comments is already going to be a certain type of person, right? Politically right. Expressive, maybe a little bit nutty. It's very hard for us to get into those private networks. And this goes for almost all platforms. No Instagram data. So there's billions of data points floating around, and we researchers can't access them. So we do what we can with public data, but it's a real challenge. We're looking at, does it affect polarization? It seems to, but more about what you say than what you see. So once you start expressing, you might go down a spiral of being more and more extreme to get likes, right? So this is what I'm working on at the moment, trying to figure that out. But it's really an open box, and the platforms change. I mean, how many times do you have an update for Instagram on your phone or Twitter? Sometimes you don't even know you're getting updates, and that's changing how those platforms work. So it's very difficult to understand, especially outside of the US where there's so many different cultures.
Yeah, I worry that we weren't meant to communicate at this level with strangers, essentially. Like, I think we're probably meant, we evolved to communicate with family and tribes members
your and community
folks who are in your community. And if you just have folks in Muncie, Indiana calling you a douchebag, I just wonder if we're meant for that. Like, imagine 10 minutes ago, and you just walked outside and you could hear someone shouting from 2,000 miles away, "You're a douchebag." Imagine if you could hear all those voices coming miles and miles away. Well, if you walk out of your house with your phone, then you do have all those voices in the palm of your hand. And we weren't meant to absorb that. I do not believe. I don't believe we're meant to absorb not even the critical stuff, but just everything. Like, there's way too much information coming way too quickly. It's like, how could you read a book if the pages were just blowing past? Like, how much retention would you have? How much would you know about Moby Dick if the pages just blew past? Like, we're not evolved, I think, to absorb or consume this much. And actually, even thinking about it, I mean, think about what your thing is of the news cycle. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, Kobe Bryant died. Like, when was that? You know, it's like boom, boom, boom. It's like it flew by so quickly. So I also know this, like, sort of anecdotally. When I go away, and this be the version of going camping or something, when I go away for 3 days to go do some race, and we're just down at the track the whole day, and nobody's checking anything other than the temperature of the tires and the race car and the oil level, at some point you're driving home Sunday night and you're like, what happened? Like, nothing happened over the last 3 days, or I have no idea what's going on. At some point you'll get back into the into civilization, and then someone will go, did you hear about Jennifer Aniston? And you'll go, what? What's going on with Jennifer Aniston? Oh, God. Oh my God, how come I wasn't told of this while I was at the track? Well, it turns out she's taking a new lover. And you didn't know about it. You didn't know about it on Saturday. It's a big deal. But then there's a party that's always 10 times more relaxed driving home after that trip up to the hills, or that trip, that whatever that distracting getaway is. So if you feel that much better when you're driving home Sunday night and you really have no idea what Jennifer Aniston's up to, maybe it's a good thing to get away from the phone a little bit.
Yes, and people are looking into things like tech addiction, which seems to be, you know, a growing problem. But, you know, to kind of spin off to a car analogy, like if you're working on a car, you basically know what are the unknowns there. You know exactly what you're working with. Maybe you don't know the composition of the oil, but, you know, you're working with what's in front of you. That person who's screaming at you from Muncie, Indiana, might be part of a coordinated network of trolls that's trying to steer your opinion one way or the other. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is who is on social media, who they say they are, is maybe not who they say they are, and they might be part of a larger coordinated campaign that's spread across multiple platforms. And these aren't just like, you know, Russian somewhere, you know, these are people who are trying to identify certain individuals and convert them to their cause, whatever it might be. And so there's a lot of manipulation going on, identity theft, right? LifeLock, all that stuff. And I think especially older people sometimes don't realize that what they see is not actually what they're interacting with sometimes.
Well, I would say to everybody, if, you know, they may be pounding on the door saying, you know, oh, my car broke down and I just need to use your phone or some version of that. And there could be a madman holding a pipe wrench on the other side of that door, but you have to let them in. And if you don't let them in, then you're fine. If you don't fire up your phone and drag it with you everywhere you go and stare into it constantly, then you're not letting the serial killer into your house. Essentially, you can control that. Your name can be spoken, or somebody can call you a douchebag, and that can be a tree falling in the forest. Like, you may never be aware of that. There's a version of this where you don't avail yourself of that information, and unfortunately everything's conspiring against you and you're going to have to do it yourself. That's the problem.
Or just an example on the other side, there was a guy who's an artist. I think he was a Dutch guy. He put a bunch of Android phones into a wagon, a cart, and just pulled them along and then got high traffic, right? Like, this is the type of manipulation stuff that is so easy to do. Just put it out there.
Yeah, there was the little Dutch boy, and then there was the annoying Dutch man. I think you know which one this was. Michael, let's see, Bosetta, thank you for joining us. Social media and politics inspired by moi. So enjoy that podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify as well.
Thank you so much, y'all. Longtime listener. Been a pleasure to talk to you finally.
Thanks for listening, Michael. Good to meet you, and we'll check back with you soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Joe Coy is going to be joining us as well. We always love talking to Joe Coy. So why don't we take a quick break? We'll come right back with Joe Coy right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Marco, I got one for the souffle and electric eel file. Toxic waste. Toxic waste was everywhere in the 80s. It is nowhere today. It came to me while I was watching RoboCop. This pandemic's a bitch. Hasta.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Joe Coy is joining us. Good to speak to you, Joe. You're at home.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
There we go.
Is there anyone we're prouder of than Joe Coy? The answer is no one. I am not prouder of myself, my son, or anybody who's currently under my roof right now than I am of Joe Coy. And I got to say, when I walked out to a sold-out forum a few months ago, or maybe even 6 weeks ago, God, it seems like 10 years ago, it was overwhelming. So a joy.
Oh, man, that's how you did it on purpose.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
What a night. Let's wallow in the slop of the two sold out shows at the forum for just a moment before we get on with our lives. What was that like for you?
One, it's the forum. It's so iconic to drive down that tunnel, Adam, and see all the names that have performed there. And I mean, we're talking from the Jackson 5 to James Brown to Motley Crue, everyone, right. AC/DC, like that wall. And then to see them paint my name on that wall with them. Unbelievable, man. I kept pinching myself the whole night. Like, I couldn't believe that was happening. To just stand on the side of the stage with you, Adam, and see that, just to see that how many people were actually there was just nuts.
You know, it was weird. It's strange how your brain processes things. So for me, seeing the huge audience was amazing, but pulling into the parking lot was the thing that struck a chord with me. Like, the parking lot was full. So it was like, I'm pulling in and the place is packed. And it's like, oh, this is like, it's as if you're going to a Lakers game back in the day, or going to you're going to go see a Wings concert in 1977. It's like, but this place is packed for one guy. And I know that guy, and his name is Joe Coy. Like, it was crazy just pulling into the place. That's when it kind of struck me. Your family was amazing. Your guys were amazing. I like the kind of trickle down effect of you being nice, and I feel like everyone around you is nice. Otherwise, you'd fucking fire their mean asses. Right?
You were great, by the way. You went up there like a champ, man. That was awesome. I've never seen you do stand up before. You know that, right? I've seen it on TV, but I've never seen you do it live.
Oh, well, thanks. It was was weird for me because I was like, the last place I played, as I mentioned on stage, was the Belly Room. I was in a venue that had 28 people the night before, and now I'm going in 13,000 people. Or you tell me how many people were there.
That was 13,500.
13,500.
Yeah.
And so it was a completely
two shows. Woof.
Completely different atmosphere, but it was awesome. And I know you had Tiffany Haddish there, and you had Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias.
Gabriel Iglesias, yeah.
Enrique. There's too many Iglesiases in my life. And it was a magical night. So congratulations to that. Now, what is this thing? This coronavirus done to the tour? I know we have Vegas May 29th through the 31st at the Encore Theater. That's still on?
Well, what's crazy is those sold out. We added two more, May 8th and May 9th, but it looks like we're going to have to move all five of them depending on how much longer we're going to have to be self-quarantined.
Damn.
I also had like five more arenas that we had to move. I had Idaho. I had Portland. God, I can't even name them. Chicago Theater, we had three shows that we had to move. So the whole tour basically got moved to the fall now.
What?
Unless we get to leave here April 30th. If we leave here April 30th, I'll be able to save the last half of my tour, which was supposed to end in June.
The Netflix special, the one that's out now, is coming in hot, which is a great special. And then the next one that's coming out is Joe Coy in His Element, and that's out June. Where did you film that?
I filmed it. Okay, Adam, Gina, Brian, had to do this for my mom, for our culture. You know, when I was growing up, Adam, I didn't have, like, I wanted to be a comic, but I couldn't find anything that looked like me or talked about things like me. And that was always something that was like, I wanted to give back if I ever made it to a level where I could do something like that and actually go to the Philippines and shoot a special and bring Filipino Americans that have never been to the Philippines and see what their families sacrificed so that they could have a good life, and bring them to that country and perform. I brought a producer that came down there and worked with another producer, and he's never been to the Philippines. And it was just so cool, man. I brought a dancer from the, you know, that lives here in America, and he's Filipino, and he's never been to the Philippines. Like, everybody was Filipino on this cast. And
how did Chris like the show?
Chris, I should have bought Chris for sure.
You should have bought Chris.
I should have. We shot it, and I was just so proud of it. The cameramen were Filipino. The owner of the venue was Filipino. Everything was Filipino. That was just that moment where I was able to give back to my mom and represent.
The accountants were Jews.
The accountants were Jews, though. The accountants were always Jews.
You know, it's interesting. I would like to get your take on this. Yes. I got, from being at your show and being amongst your fans, because we went up when I was done, me and your manager, who's an interesting guy, went up, or agent went up to the club at sports bar, the whatever, the Forum bar, and we had a drink. We watched you on the TV set, and then later went out in the audience and watched. And the experience of that was that this transcended a comedian telling jokes. These people were having a relationship with the person that was on stage. And when I was young, I would watch Bob Hope do his specials, or Johnny Carson host a show, or even George Carlin. But I didn't really think I knew them. I just thought that was them. They stood on stage. They told the jokes. I sat here and I listened. Now there's a kind of a community. Do you know what I'm saying? Where
it's
not just up there telling jokes. They're a fan of your jokes, but they're a fan of you.
That's so crazy you said that. I said that to my manager as well. I felt like that night was the night that everyone wanted to be there, because they've been there for the past 11 years. So it wasn't just me at the Forum. It was like, we're at the Forum. Like, it's not just Joe. It's all of us. Like, that's literally how I felt. I felt like they all wanted to be at the Forum too. Like, it was their moment as well. Does that make any sense?
No, I completely agree. And the upside is you have this crazy fan base who transcends the version of you they've seen on TV, or they know from the special or whatever it is. Like, they know you, they're part of your fans, which we didn't have that relationship with Johnny Carson or John Wayne or Bob Hope. The bad news is Bob Hope could drown his wife in the bathtub and I wouldn't give a shit. I'd just be like, keep them jokes coming, old man. I'm laughing away. Joe Coy, you knock up a 15-year-old, we may be out. That's all I'm
talking about.
It's done. It's done.
So it's just kind of this weird two-way street of like, we love you and we're part of your community, but now you have to be kind of responsible with how you treat us, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. And I don't take that for granted. I keep pinching myself every single day that this is happening. You know what happened that week, Adam? That was two shows at the Forum, two shows at the Chase Arena, which just opened up. The Warriors haven't even played there yet. So I had to do two that week as well. And then I had to fly to Seattle and do two hockey arenas all in the same week.
Wow.
It was the craziest. It was the craziest week. I couldn't believe what was happening. I was like, is this even real?
Joe single-handedly responsible for the outbreak of coronavirus.
So literally, literally
so true.
Playing to 85.
Those are the three states. I need to think it out, Brian. Those are the three states.
Exactly.
A whole Asian crew flying and just spreading the virus.
Typhoid Mary. So you literally like played to 100,000 people in 6 days.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. Nuts. Jesus goddamn Christ.
And then we flew.
Yes.
And then we added a theater, like a 4,000 seat theater in El Paso, Texas. Just because we had extra time. So we flew to El Paso, Texas, and then flew back to San Francisco.
Do you now? So here's the balancing act, I guess. It is so hard when you just sell out that first show and sell out that second show, and they go, you want to add a third show? Because that's just pure profit. because anybody who's done a little bit of this understands that you sell out the first show at the theater and you got to whack it up with the theater and the staff and everyone's union and blah, blah, blah. You add the second show that same night. Well, then that's kind of going right in your pocket. Oh, so it's really hard to say no to that second show. But at some point when you just, they just keep coming to you going, you want to just keep adding on a show. Can you say no?
Yeah.
Or do you remember all those lean years and now it just seems impossible to say no? Or what's your mindset on that?
Now, yeah, it's so funny that you said that because I do remember when I was begging for shows and, and not getting them. And now that I have the opportunity to turn them down, I do. And the only reason why is because the quality of work goes out the door. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to. It's bad. It's like I end up being angry at the end of the show. I don't want to meet anybody because I'm exhausted. You're mentally. Drained. Like it takes a lot to do an hour and a half and you get off stage and you get an applause and you're full of energy. And then they're like, okay, we got to start over. And then you got to go back to zero again. It's like mentally exhausting. And it's just like, and there's times where, you know, your agent is only doing his job. Cause he's like, dude, we can add a third. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to look like shit. And I'm going to give the worst performance. And it's just, so I've turned them down. I have turned them down. I hate myself when I do it. I know it's for the better. And it will, a year later, I'll back to that market and do the third show. Just not on the same night.
On a much smaller scale, I have vivid memories. Like, you know, you travel, you perform, you're in front of so many people, but you still have these weird little memories of locking eyes with somebody in the third row or something that happened or this person or that person. I remember years ago, I was playing Caroline's in New York and the first show sold out. And then they added the second show and the second show sold out. And Mike August was like, you want to add a third? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. So it was like 3 90-minute shows and I didn't have an opening act or anything.
Oh,
so it was like, we were down to the third show. The place was like half full. We sold out the first, sold out the second, and sold like half the third. It was like 1:10 in the morning. And there's like a middle-aged black woman who was sitting about 5 rows back. And I was just up there going like, I didn't know what day it was or what was going on or what I was saying. You know, and she was just looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like looking at her going, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just standing
fair.
Here,
fair
like, I'm I don't know. I don't blame you. I know you got a look on your face like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, I'd like the answers myself. I want to know what's coming out of my mouth. You understand me?
Yeah. You're literally an autopilot, man, right? You're just like doing it to do it.
The only part of you that really keeps you awake is wondering if you just said this sentence 10 minutes ago or was it 4 hours ago?
Yeah, that's so true. I've done that where I'm like in my head, like, but you just said that. And you're like, oh, no, that was the first show. That's the worst feeling. Worst feeling.
Well, Joe.
You killed it. You killed it, by the way, Adam. It was so fun to watch you up there, man.
Oh,
and your words were so nice, man. Like when we were both standing on the side of the stage and how we just both looked at like just that sea of people, like we both took it in. We both took that in together. And I thank you for it because you're a big part of this journey that I'm on, man. The Corolla Show helped me a lot.
You're exceptionally humble. And, you know, I had the same feeling before Jimmy hosted his first Oscars. It was like this moment of you're just on the stage. You're hosting the Oscars. There's, you know, Brad Pitt and everyone else sitting out in the audience. Somebody tweeted me a picture today of me and Jimmy and Kevin and Bean.
Oh, yeah.
And cousin Sal and a waitress.
We and some disturbed waitress.
We just yanked into the picture. I didn't know that was from New York from like 1994, 1995. But going from there to standing backstage at the Oscars, and it was just like, oh, we just put the picture.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's perfect. Everyone's a baby.
That's crazy.
And the waitress looks perfect because she has no.
She wants out.
You know the thing that's funny about the waitress is the waitress is sitting across the table from the guy who's going to host the Oscars in 21 years and doesn't give two shits.
She's uninterested. She wants to put her arm around the Jerky Boys t-shirt.
Right. That's Sal, by the way.
Jerky Boys too.
Yeah, he's got an open-faced turkey sandwich. He didn't think he was going to be hosting the Oscars years from now.
So I was like having that moment with Jimmy behind stage, and I had that same moment with Joe. I was just like going, oh my God, what is going on here? Look at all these people. It's the best part of life, and it's why you should root for all the good guys.
Yeah, man. And you're one of the good guys, bro. Love
you. Thanks. Yes.
Oh, can I have a different perspective from the same night or the same weekend? Because Joe very graciously invited all of the Corolla Show staff, whoever wanted to go, whoever could make it, to go. And it was like, it really was like a rock concert. It was amazing. I went the second night. But the really cool part, Joe, was you gave us all Forum Club access, which was cool. We got to have free drinks and food, and it was great to see everyone. And at the end of the night, Chris and I were like, it's getting kind of late. We got to leave the babysitter. Let's get out of here. And as we're leaving, we see Joe come in, right? And he's flanked by just dozens of, you know, probably real VIPs, people who either know him or work with him or whatever. And we're like, should we say goodbye? It might be rude, but he's being flanked by all these people he obviously knows. And we kind of hang out at a literally at like 3 foot distance. And when like there's a break in the action, I just kind of tap him on the shoulder. He turns around, I'm like, hey man, just want to say bye. And Joe was like, for 5 minutes, just hung out and was like, hey, how's the wife? Oh, you know, and everything. Like, Christy's right here. When are you bringing cookies? And it was just, Joe, you were so gracious. I just want to say thanks for.
Man, you guys are the best.
It was fun.
The Corolla Show is a big part of this whole thing that's happening, man. If it wasn't for you guys, none of this would be happening. And I love you. And I know when it's a Corolla fan when they say joy. And I fucking hate it.
Because you bring them such joy.
Well, speaking of joy, I'll tell you what would bring me joy. Max Zapata had a thought, which is he said, well, what if Joe is still working at the PF Chang's, or his character still working at the PF Chang's, but obviously you're not going in and trying to get a corner booth anymore.
No.
You're calling an order in and trying to pick it up. So I thought we could have some fun with that role playing. I'll play myself. You play the angry employee of PF Chang's who probably recognizes my voice.
Yeah.
And we'll take it from there. Yeah. Bring.
Thank you. Calling. Who calling?
Hi. I'd like to place an order.
Okay. Just what would you like to order?
Let's see. I'd like the Chang's lettuce wraps.
Oh, very popular.
As an appetizer.
Very popular.
My kids love them. My daughter Natalia loves those lettuce wraps.
Natalia.
Yeah. Then there's
Natalia.
Yeah, there's the barbecue.
Rings a bell.
She doesn't ring any bells. She plays volleyball. Mm. The
Who's Natalia's dad?
Spare ribs.
Who's Natalia's dad? Who's Natalia's dad?
Oh, well, she's my daughter. I don't
know. And your name?
My name's Adam. You definitely recognize
One second.
Her.
Please hold.
Okay, all right.
Oh, no, Adam Corolla, check close. Okay, he on hold. Okay, I'm back. Hey.
I can hear what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Please be quiet, sir. The other guy putting order. I'm sorry, sir.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Who's the other guy?
Other guy?
No. Is there another guy placing order?
Dad, yeah. Did you get my lettuce wrap?
Dad?
Hold on there, sweetie. Sorry. Yeah, Sonny.
Hold on to your kids.
Yeah, you want
stay hungry.
We'll do barbecue. We're going to do the spare ribs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, delicious. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're not going to get
ribs. Do
I
two
want
more.
The crispy honey chicken.
Okay, we'll do the honey.
Want the crispy honey chicken.
Yeah, you want the crispy so much?
She loved the crispy honey chicken. Okay. Hey, Mr. Corolla.
Yeah.
Have you tried maybe call other store? This one too busy.
You know, we like Panda Express, but we love PF Chang. You know?
Yeah, well, the whole world really loved the PF Chang. But unfortunately, so busy due to the coronavirus.
Well, you know, I called.
So there's a long line.
You picked up on the first ring. And you.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately,
didn't sound
one
that
second,
busy.
Please. He's very busy. One second,
it's
please
busy.
Hold.
Okay.
This asshole, Adam Corolla, calling him for the kid. He think he's going to get the food. Okay. Hello, I'm back. Hello?
Yeah, I could hear some of what you were saying. And it sounds like you're making fun of me. It doesn't sound like you're busy. And, you know, it's 4:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Yes, so busiest time.
No, I think we beat
Corona happy hour.
let's go with the tempura, calamari, and
sold
vegetables.
Out.
What's that?
Sold out.
All right. Well, then how about the chili, garlic, green beans?
Also sold out, asshole.
All right. Well, then we'll substitute the Kung Pao Brussels sprouts in there.
Oh, that one is a gun. No bowl.
Well, then
this is all we have left on menu. Well, this is all we have left on menu. Maybe make it easy for you. Ready? We have old rice from other customer. And one chopstick.
One chopstick.
And fortune with no fortune inside the cookie.
Daddy, I'm so hungry.
All right. Hold on, sweetie.
So sorry, baby. Try McDonald's, little kids.
we're done with McDonald's.
You're such a bad dad.
Are you saying
you've always been a bad dad, Mr. Corora?
Tell me, somebody returned their rice and you accepted it?
They have returned the rice due to Corona. And we are willing to offer to you.
So you have tainted rice.
Yes.
And one chopstick.
Yes.
And a fortune cookie that's minus the fortune.
Well, yeah, absolutely no fortune inside there for you, which is.
And what about Chang's spicy chicken? Is that.
Very delicious. Personal favorite. Unfortunately, sold out.
You know, first
Mr.
off.
Mr. Corora.
Yeah.
Can you please hold?
Yeah, I'll hold.
This asshole really want to get food. I don't even like his show. Nothing like that. He keep calling. Okay, I'm back, sir.
I could hear some of what you're saying.
Strange. I press hold.
You know, I don't like to bring up Jimmy Kimmel, but he's a dear.
Good customer.
Good customer. Oh, he eats
very good. Just go right before you.
Really?
Yeah. Order everything, get everything. Even if we run out, we make extra, we go to the store, make whatever. He hosted Oscar a long time ago. Prestigious guy. So take care of him. He's a real celebrity. On the other hand, no one know who you are.
You know, he's a dear friend. He looks up to me, you know.
You are funny.
Yeah, let me finish.
You are funny.
He's called me a genius. He called me a genius. He said it. He wasn't even drunk.
My God. You are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You know who else I know? I know Alec Baldwin.
No.
Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it.
And you know who else I'm dear friends with?
Oh my God.
Hero. Who? I'll tell you who. Hero in the Asian community, Joe Coy. He and I are dear friends.
Very good guy.
I opened for him at the forum a few weeks ago. It was to thunderous applause.
Unbelievable.
Joe put his arm around me. He put his arm around me. He said, I couldn't have done it without you, Adam. That's how close I am with Joe.
That is the kind of guy Joe Coy is.
Right.
If you can call him and he call my establishment, anything for him.
Right.
If he called.
Well, he's very busy. He's on the road constantly. Yeah. He's a busy
man. Same here. I understand, yeah.
Wait, you're on the road?
No, I'm just very busy.
Oh, you're very busy. We're on the phone for 20 minutes.
You've not
talked
busy.
To any other. There's no other customers there, though. I don't feel like you're swamped.
Wow. Too many to name.
Dad, did you order the oolong Chilean sea bass?
Oh, hold on a second.
So the kid's so hungry.
They're getting hungry. So,
Wash hands.
Yeah, they're going to wash your hands. Joe Coy, he and I are dear friends. We're not acquaintances.
He's a very funny guy. One of the funniest you for sure.
You know, he respects me.
Very nice guy.
He looks up to me.
If you can have him call me directly, I will make anything for him right on the spot.
But if you cannot
do that, unfortunately, we are closed.
Well, you're not. Well, first off, you're not closed. It's 4:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah, we cross between the hours of 4:45 and 5:01.
You know, yeah. This is going to sound
forever, how long this phone call is.
This
going
is going to sound convenient, but before the last I spoke to Joe, he said, "If you call into P.F. Chang's in Burbank, you tell them I sent you. You tell them I sent you. That is leader, hero, and tastemaker in the Asian community.
Very, very well respected.
That's what he very well respected. If he wasn't in the Philippines right now shooting a special, I'm sure he'd call you personally.
Personally, yeah.
Let's talk about that. Is that him? Is that the phone?
Who?
Is that Joe?
Hey, this is Joe Coy. I'm in the Philippines right now filming a special. I know you guys are. I know you guys are closed between 4:45 and 5:01.
Yeah. But
I really got to. I'm a big fan of P.F. Chang's. I really got to hang you. for signature lo mein. Can you guys ship that out to me? Can you?
Well, we just gave out last order, but for sure for you, we'll make special right now and then overnight.
You guys
overnight to you.
Okay.
Free of charge.
Joe, they told me they're out of lo mein not 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, we are completely sold out.
Joe, this is your buddy Adam. Remember I was rocking the forum with you not a few weeks ago?
Gabriel Iglesias?
No. Okay. Gabriel opens Saturday night.
Gabriel, love you, bro. Good to see you.
No. That's a different that's Gabriel. A different guy. Hey,
whatever he wants, you give Gabriel. He's got a
Gabriel,
big appetite.
Gabriel, okay. Thank you, Mr. Coy. Anything for Gabriel Iglesias.
Expensive phone call. We've got to go, but you hook Gabriel up.
Hold on.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. P.F. Chang guy, you're a fan of
Gabriel,
Fluffy?
Yeah, I love him so much. Oh, that was a Joe Coy.
I don't know. Good luck
Mr.
with
Mr. Iglesias? Are you? So you're
no,
Mr.
No,
Iglesias.
This is Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no lo mein.
No, but I just said you were going to ship lo mein to the Philippines a moment ago.
100%. We're already doing that.
Right. Well,
put on dry ice overnight. Should be there in about, I don't know, then I'm going to about 3 hours.
Okay. So I'm in the Flint Ridge area. I'm in La Cañada, Flint Ridge. So
far.
No, not as far. Not as far as the Philippines.
We Burbank. No.
Listen.
This Burbank.
All right.
With traffic?
There's no traffic. I could be there in 16 minutes. Whereas if I was driving to the Philippines, it would take days. I don't even know if anyone's ever attempted to drive to the Philippines.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Mr. Iglesias.
No, he's not. I opened for Joe Coy at the forum. Okay.
Okay.
And by the way, the notices were favorable. The following night, Fluffy, Gabriel.
Yes, so funny.
He opened the following night.
I will make a lo mein for him for sure.
He doesn't need any more lo mein. He's fine. And
you are not
popped off
Gabriel
on lo mein. No,
you're
no,
not the Gabriel.
We're both heralded comedians. Okay.
Well respected. So Gabriel.
But Joe's such a big fan that he said, you know what, Adam, you go first. You go Friday night. That's the big one. You know what I mean?
And then
Gabriel,
yes.
You know, hey, sloppy seconds, whatever you're calling it, you mop up on Saturday night. You know, kind of a slow night for, you know, Saturday night. Most people don't go out Saturday night.
No, not too many people go out on a Saturday night.
Okay. That sounded insane. Right.
Now we know who we're talking to.
Okay.
Bullshit artist for sure.
All right. But what Joe was saying to me is, I want you to hit lead off, buddy. I want you to hit lead off, and I want you to set the table. You know what I mean? Like, really, let's get things going. You see what I'm saying? So he gave me Friday night. So anyway, we probably spoke too much. I know you're busy. How about the Mongolian beef? I've never tried it there.
Unfortunately, Mr. Carora, if you look at your watch, we are gross.
But you picked up the phone, and it's been 28 minutes now. I just don't.
We were
feel
open,
like you,
and then we crossed.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just put my order in, and then I'll just come pick it up, and you could bring it out to the curb for me.
Unfortunately, your time has expired.
Oh, okay. What if I just pull up? I'll send my daughter up to grab the food.
Am I going to see Uncle Joe?
Yeah.
Oh,
No. This is this is the P.F. Chang guy.
Why do you write to everyone, even a daughter?
What?
Why do you write to everyone, even your daughter?
I'm not lying. I'm just saying she can come up and pick up the food. We'll get, let's see. I'm going with ginger chicken with broccoli. How's that? I've never tried it.
As much as I want to help you, and I really do, we just close. We just open for 30 seconds, and then we close again.
Well, like, real quick. Yes. I know some of your guys in the kitchen are big fans of mine. I know.
Let me see.
Yeah.
It's completely silent.
It's probably the sound of the walks. They're deafening. No, let them know Adam Carolla's on the phone.
Adam Carolla. No? No? Yeah, it's completely silent.
You know what? They probably don't recognize
deer in a headlight is the best description.
Try the man show. Try the man show. See if they remember
Man. No, Andy. On the man show. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel?
No. But me too, right? We were both together. We're together.
Jimmy
on the
Kimmel. Deer in headlight again.
No.
Just deer in headlight. Always looking for oncoming car every time your name is mentioned.
Okay.
Are we going to eat tonight?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I think I got a breakthrough. So love sad. Line. Love Line. I think they remember Love Line. They're for sure going to remember Love. It's on MTV.
Dr. Drew.
No, that's but that's Drew.
Are you Dr. Drew?
No, I'm not Dr. Drew.
Oh, Dr. Drew, I have so many bad relationships.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so many. I have what they say, liking other people.
Liking other people?
Yes, Dr. Drew.
You like?
I have difficulty liking certain people and being very mean to just specific people. Not good.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, what can I do to fix that?
This isn't
Dr. Drew.
Wait a minute. Dr. Drew may be on the other line. I don't know. Is he calling in?
Who's it is?
Hold on. Dr. Drew may be calling in.
Can I put an order in for Pinsky?
Who is this?
This is Dr.
Drew.
Yes, I'm Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew.
TV. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm a big fan of your restaurant.
Thank you so much, Dr.
I know
Drew.
You're typically closed during the hours.
Yes,
of 4:00.
We just
5:00,
and we just close again for 30
if you
seconds.
You make an
and
exception
then we reopen.
Just us once for 100%. Some Kung Kong chicken
for everything you've done for people, relationship. Thank you for everything you
thank
do,
you.
Dr. Drew. Whatever
I'm in walking. I'm in Pasadena. There's no traffic. I'll be there in 16 minutes.
No. You stay.
Oh, Drew, get the Chang spicy chicken, the sweet and sour.
Oh, if you could throw in the Chang
spicy. The Kung Pao.
Oh, yeah, yes. Whatever
just,
you
do. All. Get it all.
I'll get it. Oh, everything on the menu. We'll deliver it to you.
Oh.
Yeah, just stay there. We got the fortune cookie with fortune in it. You guys have a good time reading that.
Thank you. That's our favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Unlimited supply of a chopstick. Everything you want. I'll just throw in extra for you. Thank you for everything you do.
Hey, P.F. Chang.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Bye. P.F. Chang guy.
Wow.
A greeter. This is Adam. I just
who's
got
this?
A very.
1 second, please. 1 second. Okay. I didn't put on hold. I just take a break. I was so excited talking to Dr. Drew. My heart was pounding.
I just
feel
got
really
in,
good. His girlfriend sound real sexy. She wants to eat Kung Pao chicken. I'm going to make for her special Kung Pao chicken.
Please hold.
Whew. Wow. Okay. But I didn't even have to gather everything.
Yeah. I just got an urgent. This is Adam Carolla. I just got an urgent text from Jimmy Kimmel. Saying that he needed dynamite shrimp, Kung Pao Brussels sprouts,
100
chicken, light you know, not hot, but garlic chicken, medium garlic, garlic green bean, chili green bean.
You know what else I'm going to throw in for Jimmy Akimo? If he pick up on his own, we have we made a dedicated dish called Oscar winning lobster.
Oh, yeah, that sounds exquisite.
Oscar? Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Oscar winning lobster.
Yeah. So
Say that with me.
Oscar winning lobster. Lobster. So here's the funny thing.
Here's the funny thing.
Yeah. Jimmy's doing his home monologues, right? He's doing his monologues. So funny, right?
Said,
hey Adam, can you help me out? You know, but I'll buy you fly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm gonna come out there and I'm gonna pick the food up. For Jimmy.
He's going to run it over his house. That's a sleight of hands.
Sleight of hands?
Yeah, you're doing some kind of chicory, huh?
Are you saying it's chicory?
You're doing some kind of chicory, huh?
Oh, like tomfoolery?
Yeah.
Shenanigans?
That's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's what Jimmy told me to text.
Mr. Corora. Unfortunately, we just grows again. This is a third time grossing on your phone call. I'm so sorry. Please call back tomorrow.
All right.
We open between the hours of 8:55 in the morning and we close at 9:01 in the morning. Okay. You have a 6 minute to put in dinner.
I'm gonna prepare that for tomorrow. Kids, we're going to Panda Express.
Okay. I want a PF Chang's.
Baby. I know.
Lettuce cups.
Baby, so cute. Yeah. PF Chang's. Disappointed in father again.
Dad, why are you disappointing us?
And scene.
That was fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love not putting him on hold. You just need to stop that.
need to take a second.
Right. Let's see. Fellas at home base, I don't have the light stream thing here.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Do you ever call
Gina Grad and it just goes to voicemail all the time?
Yes, no. Every time he calls me.
Every time I call Gina, it goes right to voicemail.
Does everyone call Gina and it goes to voicemail? Like, why does she have a phone?
I don't know.
Why do you even give your phone number, Gina Grad? Why do you even give your phone number?
When you text me, everything's just fine. But then Joe Coy, and I get silence on my end, and then a big missed call notification.
Oh, really?
Gina is the worst.
Every time.
Gina is the worst, Adam.
I have a particular cellular company that was very in about a decade and a half ago and has let itself go a little bit in the last 5 years, and Joe never let it.
I think we all know what it is.
Cricket Wireless?
It starts with the letter T.
Oh, I should be so lucky.
Look, this is, you know, we have a better chance to get a hold of Gina Grad if she had a walkie-talkie.
Really?
My mom,
I've never called Gina.
I swear.
Yeah. Okay,
Adam,
give it a try.
So please call her.
Okay.
My mom lives literally next to the campus, that cellular company's campus. And I go, Mom, you must have that cell service. She goes, oh, hell no, I would never use them. What,
Brian? Thoughts?
No, Brian's frozen.
Brian froze. All right, I'll tell you what.
I got your back on this one, Gina, because people. Here's a good question.
His point is being proven right now.
Yep.
Am I back?
Yeah. Even if you try and talk about Gina, it gets put on hold.
Sorry, Brian. Go ahead. Okay.
Nope.
Mine's frozen. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Joe.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, my God.
We'll just take a break. We'll come right back after this.